The book of Revelation is the most obscure and horribly difficult book in the whole New Testament to read. Agreed? Anybody disagreeing with that? Okay. So it is probably the silliest book to try and preach through in that sense of like trying to get maximum involvement and sort of, you know, normal stuff out of it. Most difficult, right? But there's another thing going on in the world that's actually really relevant to what we're doing here. As you know, the stuff in this book is actually used by people, actually in everyday international politics, isn't it? So actually, in a strange way, it's actually the most relevant book of the New Testament to know what it means. It's a bit strange there. And there's all sorts of pet things in the book of Revelation that people go, oh, I know what that means, and become, but especially they become the subject of huge debates. Oh, yes, that's the da-da. And today we come across one of the absolute classic ones. We had one last week, didn't we? 2 weeks ago. The Horsemen of the Apocalypse, right? Everyone knows that. They even write, you know, graphic novels about the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. You know, da-da. But the one today that's been used in interesting ways is the 144,000, isn't it? Because everyone knows that the 144,000 means 12 tribes of Israel. How, put it this way, how have you seen it used? Yes, Phil. Pardon? Total in heaven. Yeah, like, that's the total, isn't it? 144,000. Any specific uses you've come across? More specific? Yeah, certain denominations that perhaps we won't announce from the microphone here. But that's fine, yeah. And of course, the whole thing is, once there's that many of us, that's it. You know, we are the chosen. There's exactly that many of us, and we're in. And of course, which is nice for those who are in, right? Not so nice if you're the ones out. Do you see where this is going? It's how we think when we believe those things, and then how we act. So let's try to get to grips with what it actually means, or especially what it means to the people who first heard this, because really that's a good, you know, thing. And also, where on earth are we in this book, and why is this happening now? Okay, so bit of revision. So if you haven't been here for the previous 3 or 4 talks, you get another 1 minute revision, and you saved all that time. That's great. So chapter 1, a vision of Jesus. Yeah, look, the class is, to those of you, I'm seeing one or two of you haven't been, so you'll be impressed. The rest of the class have been paying attention. Vision, chapter 1, a vision of Jesus, a very powerful vision of Jesus. Chapters 2 and 3, letters to the messages of that powerful Jesus to the churches, the 7 churches of Asia. Very good. Chapter 4, a vision of, that was the throne, the vision of the throne. One seated on the throne. So it's like now he's in heaven, seeing the throne. Chapter 5 is sort of alongside that. Now in heaven, it's not just God seated on the throne, it's this person who's worthy to open the scroll of judgment, which is the Lamb, right? The Lamb. So chapter 5. So 4 and 5 sort of go together. And chapter 6, all the horrible stuff starts, right? So this is the start of 13, 14 chapters of unmitigated death, doom, disaster, and judgment, okay? 4 Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Except it's not. One of the things I mentioned to you last week is that it's not chronological, the book of Revelation. Remember, I said it can't be, because at the end of chapter 6, the skies roll back like a scroll. That sounds a lot like the end of the world to me. As we know it, doesn't it? So it's, the thing is, it's a series of pictures. So you have to read it and understand it as it's actually written, which is as a series of visions, which when you actually read them, you think, well, no, that can't be after that. And here's a classic today. Did you notice when you got to the end that it said, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes? Right? Do you notice that? So isn't that sort of like a vision of people in heaven or sort of after this life? And those words are at the end of the book. Now that you read about at funerals, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's in chapter 21 and 22. So, but it's already happening here. So again, it's this lack of, it's not a nice timeline that you can just go, ah, chapter 6, chapter 7. It's different pictures. Here's the other thing that happened last time, 2 weeks ago. How many seals were there with this judgment starting to happen? How many? There were seven, weren't there? Okay, so, but how many seals happened in chapter 6? Six. So John does this interesting thing where it's sort of like he opens a, you know, six out of seven, and then there's a gap. So this is, today's reading is the gap after the six seals. And the whole emphasis of that to me seems to be that it all doesn't happen just yet. Anyway, last time was a vision of, like, judgment on the earth. And I was saying to you that judgment is very like another word, which is more happy to us, which is justice. Justice. Right? Judgment, we think of condemnation. Justice, we think of, yes, right will be done. Fair judgment. So that justice comes. But this chapter, having seen all that, you know, this is how, what is deserved. This is now a picture of salvation. Because remember I said to you, the strange thing about the judgment and the justice is that it's Jesus who does it. You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I hope you, by the time you read 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, that picture of Jesus, I hope, will be well and truly a little bit, you know, just part of your understanding of Jesus, not your full picture of Jesus, right? Because, you know, and we need to understand that too. Because again, going back to modern politics and so on, you can't just look at what's going on and go, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so I only believe in gentle Jesus, meek and mild, so I guess Jesus doesn't have anything to do with, you know, all those power struggles. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he's meek and mild to us. Yes, where he needs to be, but where the nations do crazy things, that word of who the real king is there. Anyway, let's have a look at... Oh, sorry, we did the recap? Yep. So we're up to now, who are these 144,000? And what would that mean to the readers? It's a bit strange, isn't it? Anybody work out what 144,000 is? I call on the maths teachers in the room. Or anybody who knows how to do maths? That's 12 times 12. Thank you. Yeah. Got that note there in the accountant section? Good. Okay, 12 times 12. And then times 1,000, right? Okay. So what's the 12 times 12? Well, it's 12 tribes, as you see, and it's, each tribe has 12,000. Now, this is a passage that actually reminds you of those all those boring bits in the Old Testament. You remember those bits that says, the tribe of Judah, there were 63,000, the tribe of Benjamin, there were 27,500. You know those chapters, Book of Numbers and so on, and you think, oh, please. You know, you roll your eyes and you think, is this really the word of God? Actually, it is. But this is a sort of, let me repeat again what the number 12 means. Remember the numbers always have this, you know, the seven is like the completion, perfectness of God. It's not a very difficult code. These are things that Jewish people would have understood. Remember, the references are nearly all Old Testament Jewish references. 12 is the completeness of the people of God. 12 tribes. Okay? And it's the completeness of the people of Jesus' followers because they're represented by the 12 apostles. So, this is a vision of the completeness of all the people. And it's almost like, you know, if we're going to get tribal, you know, 12,000 Presbyterians and 12,000 Anglicans and 12,000 Catholics, and you know, but it's saying like all the peoples of God, 12,000 people who are wise and don't go to any churches, but it's saying also within each group there's a completeness. So it's not just there's 12 groups, but there's 12,000 within them. So there's this completeness is what they're trying to get across. And the thousands were what they measured there in the Old Testament, especially their censuses, they were always in thousands. And the implication is always fighting people, like the armies of God. Okay? So remember, armies doesn't mean you go out and find the nearest person, you know, to speak to, and armed with your weapons. It means as in the Word of God, yeah? Okay? But it's a person who is engaged, who is on the Lord's side, as it were. Usually that means as a Christian disciple, it means actually laying down your life rather than being the literally, militarily aggressive person. Okay, so that's that lot. By the way, it's always reassuring, isn't it, if you're in one of those proper denominations, like some of the ones I mentioned before, there's a sort of this thing that, you know, you sort of know you're going to heaven, don't you? Because you're in a proper church, you know, I think that's one of the mainline churches, as we call it. Spare a thought for the Israelites who listen to this passage and are from the tribe that's missing from the list. You didn't even notice, did you? You just read through and went, oh, tribes of Israel, blah, blah, I'm home. You know, because you don't know your tribes of Israel off by heart, do you? No. There's a tribe missing. Anybody pick it up? Oh, you mean there's a whole bunch of people over here and you don't know? Never mind about them. The tribe of Dan is missing. Okay. Dan. So if you're from the tribe of Dan, which ironically means judgment. Actually, that's funny about Dan. But do you see what I mean? There's always funny things about these lists. Anyway, that's that vision. Then there's this vision of tons of people, lots of people, okay? And we're going to sing the song at the end, which is about this, you know, salvation belongs to our God, which we sang 2 weeks ago. And the words are exactly from here. That's why we're doing it. And they've got palm branches. So they're just like who? Yeah, the ones that we heard about, didn't they? A Palm Sunday, they're waving palm branches. Or perhaps Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, they also have their palm branches. Yeah, so that's great, isn't it? And on Palm Sunday, what was it they shouted? Hosanna. Hosanna. And so Hosanna means save, please. So when they say salvation here, they're really exactly like those. And it's especially in John's Gospel that they wave palm branches. So that's cool. So there they are, praising God. We need to understand with the Jewish stuff in the book of Revelation is written very soon after the most traumatizing event in Jewish history. Destruction of the temple. Do you get this? You see, we read it and go, oh, boring sort of like, you know, Old Testament stuff, so temples. No. This is written to people who are trying to get their heads around the fact that not only was their temple, the temple of God, destroyed by the Babylonians back in 587 BC, but the one that's been rebuilt, and that Herod the Great especially, which was rebuilt and just basically rebuilt just in time for Jesus to come, in 70 AD was then destroyed by the Romans. So when there's this vision of and serve him day and night in his temple, that's actually an amazingly reassuring word. It's like, a lot of the language in Revelation is about, it's like temple language. And a lot of that is like, guys, it's with God. It's not the, it never was about the, you know, the physical building and stuff. It's about God. It's about being fellowship with God. And spreads his tent. Actually, the tent was like the tabernacle. So, yeah. And notice the language. They will never hunger, never thirst. The Lamb, you know, he'll lead them to springs of living water. Again, it's like John's Gospel, isn't it? The springs of living water and wipe every tear from their eyes. But the point is this. It's a vision of like a beautiful end of the age vision. And the number can't be counted. Is that right? That no one could count. Okay. That's like the opposite of 144,000, isn't it? Okay. So now, what is going on in this book? Well, guess what? It takes a bit of reading to find this, but when you read it, you go, ah. My Bible has a heading between that first part of the reading and the second part, as if the 144,000 is one part and the great crowd is another part. Does yours have that too? Has a little chapter. You realise those chapter headings are not part of the text, don't you? They've been put in later to help you. In this case, they've been put in very helpfully to completely distract you and can destroy the point of what you're seeing. Here's the point of what you're seeing. Verse 4. Then I... Tell me the word. Verse 4. Then I heard. You got it there? Verse 4. You got Bibles over there? Verse 4. I heard the number. Ah, so he doesn't see the 144,000 at all. He hears the number. Right? Are you with me here? And then after this, I looked. Do you see the point? I heard the number was 144,000, but when I looked, I realized it wasn't 144,000 at all. Right? Now, it takes it, you think, oh, I never saw that. Never saw it. You know, like, so they're the same thing. It's not the special group, and you know, they're both simply representations of the people of God in different ways from different perspectives. Now you might think, oh, Paul, isn't that pushing the text a bit much? This is the third time in the book this has happened. Go back to chapter 5, because this is a book that's very... Who here is writers? Who here likes doing creative writing? Nobody. Oh, one or two. Good. Oh, great. Great. Any writers over here? No? Creative writers? Do you know when you write a piece, you craft it, don't you? You go back and you sort of, you know, you put things together and you go, oh, wait, that's that bit I read about back there. Right? And if the reader's really paying attention, they go, oh, that was that bit back in chapter 1. Aren't they? Yeah? Guess what? This is the bit back in chapter 5. So flick back to chapter 5. Because when you start seeing, you think, oh, I see what he's doing. Not, what on earth is this? You know? Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Then one of the elders, next word. Ah, thank you. Then one of the elders said to me. So he's hearing a voice. Now, the voice does say, see the line of Judah, but it's a voice he's hearing. So Revelation isn't, see, with Revelation we think, oh, visions, it's like sound and light show. But yeah, it's a sound and light show, not just a vision, it's hearing as well. It's the word of God, the testimony of Jesus. So he hears a voice saying, don't weep, see the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David has triumphed, he's able to open the scroll. So what he hears is a voice saying, Lion of Judah, the root of David. Now, that's language that reminds you of Old Testament stuff, doesn't it? And it reminds you of the exclusiveness, really, of the people of Israel. And their idea, the lion, it's a powerful vision, isn't it? The lion, the king, the conquering one. Yay. Verse 6. Then I saw do you see what's happening? What he hears is something that is very familiar to that the Jewish way of thinking. And maybe what you expect this faith to be, exclusive, it's just us, it's limited, it's what we've always known. But in fact, when he sees, it's something much bigger. And it's bigger than just a conquering lion. It's a lamb who's laid down, as a lamb who looks like he's slain. And so it's a new vision, if you like, of the salvation of God being a sacrificing one. Jesus sacrificing his life. And remember in the book of Revelation, they are laying down their lives because they're living tough lives in the Roman Empire. You know, Roman Empire equals modern day global financial empire. Pretty much the same thing. They're leading tough lives in this. And it's the lamb. And it was even in chapter 1, because in chapter 1 it says, verse 10, it says, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I, what? Heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Okay? But in verse 12 it says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned I saw it was in the vision of Jesus. So he's always, this is the third time he's done this. So what's the relevance for us? Let's make it more practical. Can you see what he's doing? He's taking the understanding that they've had up to now of the message of God for the people of Israel. We don't know if this book is written, Revelation is written exclusively to Jewish Christians, or maybe, but certainly there are people who know the Old Testament. Otherwise they wouldn't get any of this stuff. And Greeks had the New Testament, but the Old Testament, by the way, in Greek as well at this stage. So not necessarily only Jews, but they had this. This revelation. But it seems to, if you read the Old Testament sometimes, it seems to be that it's quite exclusive. And guess what? Mostly when you go to most churches, Christian churches, modern, it seems to be quite an exclusive thing, doesn't it? I mean, here we are. This is us. Four walls, limited space. Limited number of people. It's always the same thing, it's like, oh well, it only goes that far. But the person giving the revelation says, no, it's huge. And it's completely different to what you thought. It's not, riding like the lion, it's actually the lamb laying down his life. Here's the other thing, though, that goes with this. Think about this. The Old Testament. How do they get messages from God in the Old Testament? Who gives them messages? Prophets, okay? Yeah, like Elijah and Jeremiah and Isaiah, yeah. Who else? And angels, yeah, yeah. And priests, and they got the law of Moses, haven't they? Moses is a big one. And donkeys, yes, I love it, donkeys, yeah. But the point is that they hear the word of God, don't they? They hear the word. It's all about the word of God being spoken to them. Occasionally God appears in a form, but mostly it's about, this is the word of the Lord. This is the law of Moses. This is what God has spoken to us. Now you can read it written down, and that's it. You hear the message. That's like when this person is saying, then I heard. Because notice, whenever he hears, it's an Old Testament style thing. Yeah? I heard, and it was a voice like a trumpet. I heard, and it was the Lion of Judah, the Root of David. I heard, and it was 144,000 from every tribe of Israel. But when he looks, it's something that's a bit more mind-blowing and a bit more beyond what he would have thought. And this is the difference, because when Jesus comes, what was this word that was the word of God that you hear, that you read, that you speak, becomes someone you see. And so when he sees, it's the Lamb. And when he sees, it's like the whole planet. It's like the whole of humanity. Every tribe, every language. And that is exactly how our Christianity has to be. That's the connection with us now. You see, because if all we do is say, well, let me share my faith with you. It says in the word, da-da-da-da-da. If all I do is preach at you, I'm doing no more than was done by the prophets or Moses. Okay? That's what I'm doing. But we believe that following Christ is much more than that, don't we? We believe that the gospel of Christ, that the love of God as exemplified in the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, is something that people have to see. And we have this crazy idea from the New Testament that we are the body of Christ, which is like a visible sign. Okay? So it's that we now live in. And that's the inspiration. Isn't that beautiful? When you see that, oh, wow. And that's so, but do you see how you have to actually have to work at the book to get that? You have to like read it and reread it. They would probably have had this book, you know, in the old days when this book of the Bible, all these books of the Bible were written, scriptures were only, people didn't have their own personal written copies, of course. So the only time you heard it was read out probably at church, and they'd probably read the whole book. You know, but the point is that you hear it and hear it and hear it, and you start making the connections. And you go, ah. So they're used to having those sort of patterns and those sort of listening out for things. Unfortunately, we're a little bit inattentive. Was that exciting to find that? I was excited when I found it. I thought, oh, wow, I never noticed that. And you realize also there's another thing here too. The book of Revelation is not some random, bizarre, thing, which is easy to think it is because it's so like, oh, so much. Remember, it's a vision. But actually, it's very carefully crafted writing. Now, you may think, I don't know how your faith goes, you might think that that miraculously comes and John's just sitting there going, Holy Spirit's just giving to me, I'm just writing it down, you know, like, you know. Like, so some people think of scripture being written that way. Some people think of the scripture writers actually crafting it themselves. It really doesn't matter which way you think of it. The point is the way it comes out is crafted. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of your word, but especially of being able to see you in the person of Jesus. Make us your visible signs of your gospel, being love and light and truth and justice to our world, to each other, in the fellowship of your Son. Amen.